This is Adam Gorney with the Respect My Decision podcast this week, and a very special guest. And we've done Matt Leinart, and we've had all kinds of guys on here, but this really might be the best of the best. This is this is the Message Board Geniuses Twitter account. We're going to keep it as you know, anonymity, as much anonymity as possible here, out of respect for him, because you know he has a real job and a real life, unlike the many people that follow this thing. So I want to first thank you for doing it, because it's so great. You know, the site is at Board Geniuses, and it really just kind of collects the thoughts, and whether sober or drunk, whether mad or happy, of fans on the thing. And it's not critical, but it certainly takes a little bit of a biting tone as to what their opinions are. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's true. The intent isn't necessarily to be critical of an entire fan base.
Sure.
And I think I try to go out of my way to make that clear, but I think it's a little bit critical of certain opinions that might be voiced on a message board. Yeah.
So how did this start? Were you just sort of a college football fan reading message boards? And you said, God, that's a crazy opinion. That's crazy. I need to start collecting these. Or how did this kind of all kind of come together?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, I would see message board takes, and I would kind of just troll around a little bit and see them, and thought that it would be a fun thing to share. I think when I started the account, the first few that I actually shared were actually NBA message board accounts, but I mean, I quickly found that the craziest takes were on college football message boards. So I kind of just gravitated there towards the college football message boards.
Now, I do this for a living, so I sort of follow this pretty closely, as you know, as do you on the message board thing. And in game, it's incredible just to see, just, oh my God, you know, Quinn Ewers is the worst quarterback ever, and then he throws a touchdown pass, and Quinn Ewers is now the greatest quarterback ever that's going to lead Texas to a national championship. Is the capturing of like the moment, what is that like? And you know, you put words down, and then maybe 3 days, you know, 3 hours later, or maybe the next day after you're sobering back up, you're like, what the hell did I just say?
Yeah, those in-game posts are wild. I mean, I think especially for the last like 3 weeks, I've kind of highlighted on our podcast the Ohio State fans. I mean, they, even last week against Indiana, I went there, and after the first, they had to punt after the first drive. So they went 3 and out on the first drive. And there were literally posts after the first drive who wanted to get rid of Day. I mean, they've been fed up with Ryan Day, who's lost one conference game his entire career. Mad at CJ Stroud after one series.
Yeah.
You know, and so I went back, and I really couldn't find it after that because they kind of took control of that. But, you know, you found the same thing with Alabama this week. I mean, they've been done with Nick Saban. There were guys wanting to bench Bryce Young.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
And it's just the emotion, which is part of the fun of it, is just to see what people say when they get real emotional. You know, it's kind of like that one friend everyone has where you kind of like to try to rib them and get them a little riled up, because once they get a little emotional, they start to say and do things that that are entertaining.
Right.
So it's a little bit like that, I think.
Your calling card is fire everybody. And that has obviously been a thing on message boards. You lose one game. You're in your first year. You don't have a quarterback. You haven't been able to hit the transfer portal. Your NIL is just kind of coming together at your school, but they want to fire everybody. And it seems like there are certain programs or schools that they want to hire someone just so they could fire them and complain about them. It's just an incredible thing. On
Yeah. Miami.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I say, Miami fans, you know, Crystal Ball's barely been there. They wanted to fire him. Obviously, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Oklahoma fans have lately been wanting to fire Brent Venables.
Yeah.
And the earlier in the season it happens, the more entertaining it is for me, because inevitably, I mean, you'll find it in the first quarter of the first game of of a coach's first year, people have made a determination that they've had enough of him.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. And then the other thing that's very popular on message boards, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, is flight tracker watch. So there's a plane leaving Oxford or Olive Branch, Mississippi, and it's headed to Auburn, Alabama. Lane Kiffin must be on that plane. And it's just incredible to just see how much people care about where planes are going.
Oh, yeah. The time investment into trying to track a plane that may or may not have anything to do with a coaching search. Or I think on some of the Ole Miss boards, they were tracking Lane's kids' social media accounts. I mean, going to every extent possible to see if they can put a couple puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, we are we're owned by Yahoo. So we're a global company, and we have to monitor and police some of this stuff sometimes, because people just sort of think, if they hide behind, let's say at Auburn, and I want to get into some specific schools and stories, like Fat Tom 22. He seems to really get involved there. Now, Fat Tom 22 on the Auburn site, and this is the thing, like this citizen journalism stuff. And I was a big Matt Drudge guy for a lot of years, and he always said, like, journalism will become the normal citizen, will have an outlet, whether it's Twitter or a message board, and he'll be able to report news. Well, he doesn't have the same journalistic standards that maybe I do, but it's still worthwhile following some of these guys, because you just don't know who the hell they are and what they know. So Fat Tom 22 on Auburn Sports is convinced that Lane Kiffin has a 10-year, $120 million deal already in place. And you just wonder, is it all true, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's one where if I would have seen that initially, I would have made fun of it or laughed at it. But it came from Fat Tom 22, which, if you follow the account or you follow Auburn, he literally predicted the Brian Harsin firing almost to the exact minute that it happened.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know what his track record was before that, whether he had inside information before that, if he stumbled on one piece of information, if it was some lucky guess on his part. So now he tends to have a little bit of credibility, I suppose, that it's on the line right now in terms of if Lane Kiffin gets hired by Auburn, and if so, what the contract terms are. I always see guys on there who claim to have sources, and I think I'll always try to tweet that out, because, like the posters, I don't really have to have any journalistic integrity. Sure. when I put it out there, because it might be true, it might not. I'm kind of just putting it out there. Here it is. Either make fun of it or believe it, whatever you want to do with it. But here it is. And that's kind of what I did with Fat Tom. But he turned out to be correct. So
yeah. Fat Tom is definitely a follow, but others might be a little more curious. Dabo and James Franklin. This is all. And this is for the people listening to this. This is all news on the Auburn websites in the last week about the coaching search. Dabo and James Franklin have been contacted. Lane Kiffin has already told his team at Ole Miss that he's leaving. Cliff Kingsbury has been contacted. And that Hugh Freeze might have some baggage, but I love this one. Lane Kiffin has mental baggage, and that his job because of it. It's just really incredible. So then you go to Kentucky, and that Mark Stoops should resign. And at LSU, someone was really mad that they put out, hot chocolate like it's for Santa Claus, and then broth on the sidelines. They're investigating whether that came from the coaching staff or some rogue trainer that wanted to put broth on the sidelines. It's just like endless. And if you think about it, like last week's games really weren't like one of the biggest of the season. I could just imagine what it's like, Tennessee, Georgia, and Miami. Someone's wondering if Mario Cristobal is losing games on purpose. It's just great. And then you get to Nebraska, and obviously one of the most incredible fan bases in the country, just completely dying for relevancy again. And these are some of the good ones. And then I want you to speak to the Nebraska fan base. Someone at a barbershop in Lincoln is saying that Urban Meyer is going to be the coach. Lance Leipold has already told Kansas that he's leaving. I love that someone asked if you could fire an interim coach because Mickey Joseph lost the game. And then the best maybe comes from former Ohio State assistant Zach Smith, who lost his job for, as we all know, alleged domestic abuse. He's sure that Deion Sanders is going to be the next coach in Nebraska. So take it from there.
Yeah, I do love Nebraska fans, and I feel bad for Nebraska fans. But, right, man, their board's been all over the place. Like you said, you know, this week Matt Rhule has been a done deal. Urban Meyer's been a done deal. Deion's been a done deal. So there's those three, and I'm not even sure that if either of those three are really even going to be the head coach.
Right.
And then you've got the Urban stuff. You know, Urban to Nebraska on the boards was rumored heavily right after Scott Frost was hired. There was a post saying that a janitor had seen Trev Albers meeting with Urban. And then, you know, now you have some barbershop chatter of Urban. And that's, according to the barbershop rumor, that's supposed to be announced this Sunday.
Oh, so nice.
We'll quickly be able to determine if there was anything to that rumor, provided they don't, in the next few days. So they've kind of been twisting in the wind for quite some time. I mean, how long has it been since Frost has been fired? It's been like September, right? So they've had all sorts of time for rumors. I heard someone say that they thought that they should just hire Mark Whipple as the permanent head coach, which I'm guessing wouldn't go over well either.
No, wouldn't go over well either. So then we move on, and it's endless. Ole Miss, so people are doxing the officials from the Alabama Ole Miss game. Someone claims that Lane Kiffin literally might be Jesus. Oregon, they're trying to get Dan Lanning to take the Auburn job. The people at Miami are convinced that Florida's NIL deal is 4 years for $11 million to flip Jaden Rashada. NC State does not like Dave Doran. South Carolina, they're sure that Shane Beamer is going to turn out to be worse than Will Muschamp, and that Coastal Carolina head coach Jamie Chadwell will leave his head coaching job to be the offensive coordinator at South Carolina.
Virginia, that was a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Virginia Tech under AD Whip Babcock. They're the seventh worst team in the state of Virginia. this is the best. And it's played on a network. Their games are played on a network in between Golden Girls reruns, which is great because I see RSN and I really don't know what that is. I guess Raycom Sports Network. I didn't even know that was still a thing. West Virginia wants to bring back Rich Rodriguez, and the excuse was that everybody makes mistakes, even after he lost his job at Arizona for alleged sexual harassment and hostile work environment allegations. So, and then we get to the Texas schools, and that's where we'll wrap up, because this might be some of the best. Texas. Texas loses to TCU last week. As we know, the offense struggles. Quinn Ewers did not look good. He's just chasing the money, and his fame is about to dry up. So I love that someone commented that Sark makes Tom Herman look like a Mensa member, but Tom Herman is actually in Mensa. He's actually in Mensa, which is incredible. I don't know if that was really some high-level irony or just an accident that turned out to be really funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, someone wanted to hire Sonny Dykes. Then someone wanted to hire Lane Kiffin. Then they're convinced Josh Heupel would leave. And then the meltdown alert. I loved your tweet on the meltdown alert. They're tied 0-0, and it's time to put in Hudson Card or to put in Arch Manning. So what do you make of Texas and what's going on there and just that fan base? Again, one that really has not done much in about a decade and really is aching for that national relevancy again.
Well, the funny thing about that I like about Texas is every year they're back, and it just it's like this terrible cycle for them where they're always back and then they're not back. They're back in that cycle again. And, you know, they're back, probably going to lose to Kansas next week. So that'll kind of fulfill the typical cycle. But it's funny to watch because, you know, they were so gung ho that Sark was the guy, and that, you know, when Ewers came in and they started getting all these these recruits that this time they really were back, and now they're not, and you know they're questioning Ewers and Sark and everybody and Gary Patterson and everybody. So it's been kind of funny to watch. I think the only thing that's made it somewhat tolerable for them is that they get to watch Texas A&M be even more of a disaster than they are.
And that's a great segue to the greatest, to maybe the greatest message board posting across the entire recruiting network that has come to be.
Man.
It's just incredible, just what you read. And here are some of the highlights of just the last week. That yeah. Texas A&M should lose to UMass on purpose for the greater good. That Texas A&M could fire Jimbo for insubordination. The coaching hot board that has been proposed includes 71-year-old Mac Brown. And this is the best. And I don't know why I find this so funny, but it actually is not a horrible idea if legal. That fans should have there should be a surcharge on game tickets to pay Jimbo's buyout, which is just incredible. So Texas A&M, what do you make of it? And those guys, and again, those guys are really aching for, and we're so convinced that they were going to be back and they're the sleeping giant and all this kind of stuff. They sit at 3-7.
Yeah. I mean, they had really convinced themselves that a national championship was coming either this year or next year. And it's been funny to watch how quickly they turned on Jimbo Fisher. I mean, he went from could do no wrong to, you know, a worthless piece of garbage it's funny because they're trying to figure out ways to get out of this contract. Like there's just some easy way that Texas A&M is somehow going to get out of Jimbo's contract. Like I've seen posts where they say, well, look, we'll just negotiate it down from an $85 million down to $25 million.
Yeah.
As though Jimbo would just agree to knock $60 million off the contract that he's owed, or the surcharge for the tickets, which we calculated that and figured out that if they put a $5 surcharge on their tickets, it would take, if they had a sellout every year, it would take 27 years to pay off Jimbo's buyout. So that one's funny. Or they just, a couple of them proposed that they just move him to like a bus washer or some other job in the university and make him work it off. But so somehow they'll still pay him his $100 million and then hire a new coach and obviously have to pay them more than $100 million. So it's funny to watch them try to figure out how they're going to get rid of Jimbo and kind of move on.
Yeah, it's all great. And it's only going to get better. A lot of rivalries this weekend. I'm sure the boards are going to be heated. We go into the playoffs, the bowl games, everything else. It's a great board. Thank you for kind of joining us today. Message Board Geniuses, @BoardGeniuses, the name. I'm Adam Gorney, and that's the Respect My Decision podcast.